Hello, my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork, One Another. The date today is the 12th of September 2009 and the time is 9:15 p.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
My name is Mary Claire Gormley, I'm 54 years old and I live in London.
And how are you today?
I'm good, actually. I've had a really nice day and it's been finished in a way that will never be repeated. So it's been good.
Can I take you back to when you first heard about the project and ask you why you decided to apply to be part of One Another?
I first heard about it, I should think a year and a half ago. I mean, I knew that Anthony was pitching to do it. Anthony's my brother-in-law, so hence being quite involved. And I knew that he was hoping to do this, and then, of course, it was accepted. And just to me, it just seemed an awesome idea. And I signed up as soon as I could to see if I could be accepted, but I didn't really hold a lot of hope that I'd be able to do it.
And when you found out that you had got a place on the plinth, how did you decide how to spend your hour on it?
Well, I've only had about 24 hours to make the decision. So, although I had a couple of calls a month ago, but we were away on holiday, and I had thought about praying for London because I'm a Christian, and to me, I love this city. I've lived here for a lot of years. And it just, the project, as I saw it, we have been quite involved with something called 24/7 prayer, and the idea really links with what Anthony's doing here, the 24/7 aspect of it. So that seemed to me what I would want, I wanted to do. But it was quite scary doing it.
Yes, just to say, you have just been on the plinth. So can I ask you, first of all, to say what you did on the plinth, to describe what you did, first of all.
Okay, I think from anybody looking in, it would have looked very dull, and I was very conscious of that. I had a sense of not performing. I wasn't entertaining anybody, and I'm sure for the people on the ground, that was quite dull. But actually what I was doing was focusing on the city and all the aspects of this city, from the infrastructure, the cultural side of the city, the government, the police force, all the details, and really just praying about the healthcare, all the people involved in working to make the city what it is. And then I had an extraordinary time of focusing on actually looking down towards Charing Cross and the homeless, and really being very aware of all the different nationalities and the loneliness in the city that, you know, on so many levels is amazing and alive and vibrant, but there's an underside to it that is so lost and broken and a lot of very, abandoned people in it. So that was really what was going on.
And how was your experience for you emotionally and all of that? What was going on inside for you?
I feel quite emotional thinking about it. It was extraordinary to be kind of raised up above the city. I mean, obviously not that high, but it felt that way, kind of removed from what was going on, and yet part of what was going on. I mean, you know, you're part of everything that's happening, but you're not. And it was just, it was a very powerful place of being very alone. And then I was praying, so I, of course, was focusing on God. But it was also very much connecting to the city. It was an odd way of doing it. I don't usually pray quite so publicly.
And what, I know it's very difficult to do, but what experience were you hoping to get out of taking part in One Another overall, do you think? And yes, I'll ask that first.
I think it's an historical thing that this project is, you know, the idea of, I've grown up with Trafalgar Square and the Lions and probably paid no attention to what's on each of the plinths, I have to say, in all my life. And suddenly to be part of the sculpture of this city, you know, there's a lot of sculpture commemorating all kinds of long since forgotten people, really. And so just to be part of something that is, I think, history in the making, really. So that was the exhibitionist in me wanting to take part. What I did with it was something else, but I think there was a bit of my exhibitionism wanted to just be there.
And how do you feel now?
I feel exhilarated, slightly, heart slightly going, still feel slightly nervous. There was a moment just before where I thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And now I feel really, excited and relaxed, and it's good.
And can I ask you to say, I'll ask this as openly and as broadly as possible, and you can choose how you'd like to answer, but can I ask you to say a little bit about yourself?
I've been a mother for a long time. I've got 5 children, ranging from 26 to 11. So for a long time, that's been kind of my identity, because I've been doing full-time children. And then I'm in the sort of next stage of my life. Not that I'm not still a mother, but I'm also actually I've started work again. I'm involved in a big charity, and my life is kind of going on to the next stage. And in a way, this is yet another part of the next stage, because this was about what I was doing. It wasn't about my children and all of that. But they were there to support me, which was really special.
And you chose today to bring out your faith as that aspect of you. Can I ask you to talk a little bit about your faith and what that means to you?
Yeah, my faith is, I mean, I'm a Christian. My faith is absolutely pivotal to who I am and what I'm about. And certainly for us as a family, it is our kind of complete rootedness. I have just such a sense that God has such a purpose for this city. And I feel that we're very much standing in a time between where the city, where we as a country have kind of gone off in one direction. And I think that there's a real sense of things changing, people's values changing. And for me, that's my journey too, you know, and I've come to find my maturity, my confidence, my strength is in knowing that I'm loved by God. And so that's what makes me tick. But it's been a journey. It wasn't something I had from birth. It's been a journey that I've learnt and grown through, and I just sense that. I mean, there were a few friends from our church came and were down there, and it was so powerful because we were actually, I know they were praying too, and there was just this real sense of lifting up the city. And we've actually just had a week of prayer in our church. There's 24/7 prayer. So it kind of feels really, well, you could say coincidence, but I reckon it isn't coincidence, that the time on the plinth came today rather than next week, last week, or any other time, because it just felt like a kind of culmination of what's been going on. Yeah.
And was there a point at which your faith became much more a part of your life? You said it was a journey and it wasn't always there. Can you remember the point at which your faith became a big part?
Yeah, it was, I mean, this is a long story, but I mean, Michael, my husband, Anthony's brother, I mean, they all grew up in a strong Catholic family, and that, I mean, I didn't have any of that. So I was aware of this kind of bedrock of faith that is there, even though it was being interpreted in different ways. And I guess I sort of started the journey about 28 years ago, but got the kind of real sense that it's about relationship, and it's about having a relationship with God, with Jesus, through Jesus Christ. And that, I guess, happened about 14 years ago, that real sense of relationship.
And what's important for you in your life at the moment? What's happening for you?
Oh my goodness, that's a very interesting question. Lots of things are happening. Two of my children got married 2 years ago, another got married just the day, 2 days before this project started. So I'm sort of, you know, there are kind of people fleeing the nest. Actually, they're all growing up. So I'm sort of walking into empty nest, but equally I'm so not in that place because there are other things coming in. But I'm in a time of transition, which is fun and challenging.
And where are you hoping to go with your kind of, with your direction now? Have you got any plans, any idea which route you'd like to take at this transitional stage?
Well, my job now is working alongside, I work as a counsellor for a large charity supporting the staff in that place. So we've got about 200 people that I am available to oversee. I'm called a staff advisor, and I see that role developing more and more. And it's about a kind of pastoral heart, really, that's being developed and given space to develop. So that's where I'm at.
And how do you like that, or how do you enjoy that?
I love people, and I'm fascinated by people, and I'm fascinated by the way we all tick, really. And so I'm just, yeah, and just, I guess, having been around for a few years, just have a way of understanding what's going on, really, and to be able to stand alongside people who may be struggling is really powerful, and in a huge privilege.
What's the charity that you work for, that you helped, that you mentioned earlier?
It's, well, our church is called Holy Trinity Brompton, and under that we have a whole lot of work going, huge things going on worldwide and in London. So we've got a whole programme of social transformation and happening on various projects happening on various estates around London, where and then working with ex-offenders, caring for ex-offenders, doing Alpha in the prisons, Alpha in the universities, and things happening all over the world. It's huge. I mean, there's so much going on. I should have a list and then I could tell you all of it, but there's a lot happening. But it's, I mean, just on Wednesday, one of our churches open on a Wednesday as a drop-in centre, and there were 80 men and women who are living on the streets who just come in and are fed and spend time and hang out and make music and do art, and it's just amazing, you know, and that's just one little drop of what's happening, but it's so powerful. So those are the things that excites me.
And can I ask you to say a little bit about where you come from originally? Where were you born?
I was born in Devon. No, I wasn't born in Devon. Sorry, I'll start again. I was born in Oxfordshire and then moved to Devon. Grew up in Devon, on the edge of Dartmoor, far away from a big city. I first came to London, I remember standing in Trafalgar Square, right there, wearing a little black and white coat with a red collar, when I was just 11 for my sister's wedding, surrounded by pigeons in January. It was cold. And I guess that was the first time I came to London, in 1967 it must have been. So it's kind of weird that... And now I live in the city and I'm part of it. But yeah, I grew up on the edge of Dartmoor. Lots of space.
And what was your profession, or what did you do as you kind of made your way through life?
Golly. Way back, I used to work for something called the Historic Houses Association. So it was very connected with privately owned historic houses that were open to the public, and just the caring for those, the opening them, and trying basically set up to preserve the houses, because at that time they were all being knocked down at great speed because people couldn't afford to keep them going. And so we worked as a political pressure group, lobbying to get kind of tax advantages for repairs. So it was about the sort of structure, and which is why it was rather amazing standing up there and just looking at the National Gallery and all the buildings that are around that are so much of the fabric of London. And so, yeah, I'm now dealing with the people, but before that it was fabric.
And, is there anything else that you would like to mention about you as a person? Just just kind of help paint a little picture. How would you describe yourself, actually, if I can ask you?
I think I'm quite impulsive. I'm basically optimistic. I think I've got a big heart, and I have fun. I actually am able to have fun, which I think is an extraordinarily important thing. I'm unbelievably blessed with an amazing family, my five lovely children. And that's a really important part of my life, actually, because we have fun together. Yeah, it's good. And what else? I don't know. I guess, you know, all the other things that come in too, kind of confidence leaves me. And at moments, I mean, it was quite interesting being up on the plinth and thinking, is this good enough? You know, is what I'm doing good enough? And then thinking, shut up, you know, that's not what it's about. But it was really weird, some of that sort of self-doubt stuff that I guess we probably have till the day we die. It probably gets worse and worse, actually. but it was an interesting one. It was quite a challenge.
And is there anything else you would like to add? Any closing words about your participation in One Another now that you've done it?
It was lovely talking to the guy who's going to come on two after me. And the way he put it was so powerful. You know, 2,400 people have taken part in this project, and in this country, you know, it's just an amazing privilege to have been part of that. And I'm a plinther. Yay!
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kate.